My name is Chisa Hishchase. My Indian name is Natkasani Bay, which means singing sage. I'm a member of the Northern Arapaho tribe. We reside on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. I currently live in Mandan, North Dakota, and I've been up here in this area since August 2011. I have four boys, ages 9, 15, 21, and 25. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration. I have an associate's degree in tribal management. I graduated from United Tribes Technical College in Bismarck in May 2015. I currently work as administrative assistant at the Bismarck Minority Business Development Agency, and I've been there since May 2013.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. So you come a long way from home. You're from Oklahoma?
Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming. Excuse me. Okay. Wow, that's a long ways. It's probably a culture shock, too.
Yeah, it was.
So, you know, let's go back a little bit further. Share with us where you grew up.
I grew up on and off the reservation. I attended elementary schools both on and off the reservation. And then I went to a local high school in a local town, but I never finished. So I later got my GED from the local community college. We lived about 3 hours away from the reservation, and I went to non-Indian schools, and I went to school with nothing but non-Indians. And then when we moved back to the reservation when I was about 7 or 8, I attended Wyoming Indian Elementary, and then I went, and that's where most of the students are Arapaho, and then I got transferred up to Fort Washakie Elementary School, where most of the students were Shoshone, and then I went to junior high and high school in Lander, where it was a mix of all of them, Shoshone and Arapaho students and non-Indians.
So tell me, so you went from non-native schools, public schools,
mm-hmm.
in your earlier years, like kindergarten and probably first grade?
Yeah.
And then it sounds like then second grade, third grade, you went to Arapaho, a tribal school?
Yeah, Wyoming Indian Elementary is where they're mostly Arapaho students.
Okay. And then Shoshone is a different school?
Yeah, Shoshone tribe. Yeah, tribal members go to Fort Washakie School. Yeah.
And so do you want to just share some of your experiences at those different schools? What was it like? Is there differences from going to Arapaho to then to Shoshone then to the mixed schools?
I kind of experienced somewhat of I guess it's a former type of bullying. I don't know. When I first went to the reservation schools, then they would make fun of me for talking like a white girl. And then when I went to Fort Washakie School, then they would make fun of me for being Arapaho. So then when I went back to Lander, then they were kind of prejudiced towards me for having brown skin. So I kind of experienced those types of racism in my early years, but it wasn't that bad. It was just a lot of teasing and name-calling and things like that I experienced. But other than that, then I was raised by my grandpa and my parents, and there's 6 girls in our family, and I'm the youngest. And so I was always spoiled by all of them. I was my grandpa's baby and my mom and dad's baby and my sister's baby, and they taught me a lot. I was like spoiled in a good way because they just gave me a lot of attention and read with me. And by the time I started school, then I already knew how to read and write. And I always excelled in academics, and I always had to go to the next higher grades to get reading and comprehension and math and things like that. So I would be taken from my class, and I got put in a class above me. And, you know, by the time I finished sixth grade, then there was really no more work that they could offer me. And so they just let me have my own group to work with of students my age. And so that's how it went. And from there, then that's when I went to the local school in Lander, because my mom thought that it would be better for me and more challenging for me. Mm-hmm. Academic wise. So I have a lot of little awards and my name on plaques in those schools and things like that. So,
and Lander is the public school?
Local public school. And it's right off the reservation.
Okay. Is it small town?
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty small town.
Okay. And so what was it like going to school there? I know you were pretty young. What, do you remember what it was like? Did you feel like you fit in? I mean, going to a public school, was there very many Natives?
There was only two other Natives that I went to junior high with, and they also, we all started attending Lander at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we were accepted because we were really athletic, and we had joined all, you know, like volleyball and basketball and track, and so we got involved with things like that, and then we started making friends, and I have a lot of good friends to this day from that time in my life. They're still my friends, and mm-hmm. keep in contact with them. I didn't have any kind of problems there.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of wraps up the up to the high school point. How about getting into your adolescent, your adulthood? How was that transition, and what did you do in your life?
I don't know. I started getting into trouble when I was in high school. I mean, I didn't get into any kind of trouble with the law enforcement or anything like that. I just wasn't making good choices. And I ended up getting pregnant when I was in 11th grade, and that's when I had my first baby, and so that's why I dropped out of school. And it was just from not making good choices.
What would have helped you, do you think, from making better choices, looking back at it?
I just think that I kind of was trying to be on my own and trying to grow up too fast, and I think that if people were more strict with me, maybe my sisters or my mom or dad or my grandpa or somebody, you know, if they were more strict with me, but I kind of think that they didn't really notice because I was still going to school and doing good in that area, but after school and different times like that is when I was making bad choices. So I just think if they would have been more strict with me, then it might have changed things.
And did alcoholism and that come into play too at that time?
Yeah, I have a lot of bad memories from drinking. I went through witnessing alcoholism at an early age, and alcohol was always part of everything. I used to go to softball leagues and games when I was little and watching the adults play softball, but there was always drinking involved. And like on the 4th of July, there was always the city of Lander lets everybody drink in public for that day, so it's one big party. And it's just, I just like grew up understanding that alcohol was the norm and that there wasn't anything wrong with it. And as an early adult, then that's when I started, you know, drinking myself. And it got in the way of a lot of things. It got in the way of my first relationship, and my first relationship was 6 years of physical abuse, and I think that it was all due from drinking. And that's why I started drinking. It was just as a result of that physical abuse, and I never went like binge drinking or anything like that, but I used it to help myself feel better and forget about the bad things, you know. And I don't know, some people go through life not ever drinking alcohol, and I wish I would have been one of those people. You know, I wished, because it wasn't until I quit drinking that I realized that I never needed it, you know. So.
And what do you think are some things that led you to go that way? What were some of that?
I just, I didn't, like growing up, I had a good foundation laid, you know, by my people who raised me. And I was raised in the church when I was little. And then when we moved to the reservation, then I learned our cultural ways and spirituality. And I just think that I strayed from that path, and I wasn't depending on God for help or for the answers, and I think that's where I went wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I chose to let alcohol mm-hmm. affect my life the way that it did.
Was it in your home growing up, whether during as a child or during your high school years?
Yeah, I seen family members drinking, and yeah, it was. It really was. And I don't know, it wasn't terrible. Like, there was never any parties at my house, but people in my family drank. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason why I just thought that it was the norm, you know, because everybody did it. But, mm-hmm. and then, I don't know, on the reservation, then it was like a big social event, like at all the softball mm-hmm. games and different things. And even when people would go fishing and go up to the mountains for camping, then they would always have beer and everything, you know. It was just always part of it.
Mm. With kids? Yeah. So it'd be a family event, but the adults would have beer and coolers yeah. and stuff, and that was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. So growing up and getting into, you know, I'd say more into your 20s, 30s, what can you share with what that was like? Where were you and what was that like?
After I left my first relationship, then 3 years later I got into another one, and this one was alcohol wasn't the problem. It was just that my spouse was really controlling and jealous, and he would say mean things to me, and he would made me feel like I was worthless. He would check the odometer when I would go places and write it down when I got home, and he would time me when I went to my mom's, and I would get accused of talking to or looking at strangers in the store funny or something, or why was somebody looking at me smiling or something, and I didn't even know what he was talking about. But it was things like that. It was like all the time, and my self-esteem was really low, and then I got really depressed, and then it was then that I turned to God for help, and God's the one who helped me leave him mm-hmm. and give me strength. And then I turned to my family for help, and they sheltered me with love and prayers, and then I had God's love, and I got help traditionally and spiritually, and I was healed from all of that, but it took a few years before I could rest easy, and I still struggle with my emotions when I think about how bad I was treated, but I don't let it affect my daily performance, and I've just chosen to give it all to God and let him handle my worries, fears, and troubles, and he has.
Mm, that's great. And so does that lead you to kind of to where you are today, or can you share with us how you got to North Dakota, or what brought you here?
Yeah, I dropped out of high school, and I later attained my GED, and then when I went to college back home, then it was really hard because there's no support for natives back home, and not in my opinion, because I was a single parent who was struggling for help, and I needed help with housing and daycare, and there's a major housing shortage on our reservation, and there's no family housing for students at our local college. I could never find anybody to babysit for me, and when I did, then it was babysitters who wouldn't work with the state because they had bad experiences of getting paid or, you know, all those kind of things. And so, and then I had family that supported me, but they couldn't always be there for me because they had lives of their own and children of their own and everything like that. So even though I was a 4.0 student back then and I was 16 credits away from graduating, I just chose to drop out and go to work because that just seemed to be the better answer so that I wouldn't have to struggle so hard. And so That was in 2003, and then in 2004, then I kind of reconnected my relationship with God and started working with the Northern Arapaho Council of Elders. Mm. And it was during that time when I realized that was my purpose in life. Like, before that, I had worked as a cook and at the Head Start in different places, but I didn't really have a purpose. And when I started working with the language and with our elders and for the tribe, then it was like I just wake up every day ready to conquer the world, you know. And and it was like my reason for living, you know. And I worked really hard at that, but then after 8 years, then I started getting frustrated because politics started getting in the way. And when you're working with the language, then that's holy work. And and that should have never happened, but our budget kept getting decreased every year in big chunks of money, and they were just doing things with our budget, and I didn't like it. And so I promised the elders that I was going to go back to school and learn how to write grants and learn what I could do to help them, so that we would be just like within arm's length of the council and those people making decisions on our behalf, when, you know, they didn't have no business doing that to us. But anyways, so I promised the elders that I was going to go back to school and that I would learn how to write grants and help them find a way so that they could be just by themselves, you know, within arm's reach of everybody, but still, you know, standing alone as a standalone entity. And that's what I did. And I looked around for colleges, possible colleges to go to, and I didn't want to go to Kansas because I'm scared of tornadoes and all these reasons, you know, and making my decisions. But I chose United Tribes because they have family housing and they have an elementary school on campus and daycare on campus and for those things. And it was kind of like my dream come true. It's, you know, something that I wished for earlier in life that I never had the opportunity for. So I was glad that I found out about United Tribes, and I'm glad that I came.
Mm-hmm. And that was in 2011?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now you got your bachelor's degree. It's been 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now what are your plans? What do you foresee?
Right now I'm happy doing what I'm doing, working with MBDA, because we help tribes from all over the United States. It used to be just regional, but then they opened it up so to allow us to work with all tribes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like I'm on a national level, whereas if I went back to the reservation, I would just be at a local tribal level. And mm-hmm. It's hard working on the reservation because you have to deal with people and their personalities and egos and gossip and jealousy, and all these things come into play. But then, like, where I'm at right now, I'm happy because it's challenging, but it's I don't know, I'm happy knowing that we're helping tribes build economically. Mm-hmm. And that's what most tribes need, is a little bit of help from people like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So who would you give the credit to growing up, looking back? You know, obviously you've done good for yourself considering the challenges that you had. What are the values? Where did you get the values that got you through it?
I got my values from my parents and my grandpa. And my grandpa used to just say really good things, and I just remember his words to this day, you know, like love one another and, you know, show, have respect and work hard. And then my dad used to tell me things like, it's better to be 5 minutes early than 1 minute late. So I always try to be timely and things like that. But I have a lot of good values, and that's what carries me, you know, is knowing that, well, carefully, you know, I try to make decisions wisely now. Before I wouldn't care about the choices that I was making. I was just making choices. And now I'm really careful about everything that I do and mm-hmm. where I go and things that I say. And I just try to be helpful. I just mm-hmm. try to help people.
Mm-hmm. So your whole goal is to help all Native Americans wherever God puts you, places you.
Yeah.
You're thinking and keeping in mind back home, your people back home at the same time.
I did write a grant for our tribe, and we received $20,000 from a grant from First Nations for our language camps this summer. And since I was going through school, then I keep in touch with everybody back home, and I saw that it was a struggle for them to fund these kind of events. And I coordinated language camps for 6 years, and so I knew about them and what it all takes and everything, so writing that grant was pretty easy. But now I want to help them. I want to continue helping them with brick and mortar and building one centralized building for language and culture that everybody could go to for all ages. Mm-hmm. And I want to still help them in those ways. And I don't know if they need me to help them any other ways, then I'm sure I will. But I just want to help them from up here in Bismarck. I don't want to move back to the reservation. Not yet, anyway. Not yet, anyway. I'm happy where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that goes back to my question about moving to Bismarck. It was to seize opportunity. Is that, do you feel there's more opportunity here? Or what are some other reasons?
My sister was up here, and she moved up here like 25 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a few years longer than that. But she moved up here and went to United Tribes, and she stayed up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I thought, well, my sister's up there, and she'll be there to support me and everything. Mm. And so that's part of the reason why I came up here. And then just to get my education, and like I said, just for family housing and all of that. But also just to do what I had to do for my children so that I wouldn't have to struggle financially anymore. You know, I wanted to make those choices and finish, because I was always really smart, and I never did anything with it, you know. I never got my degree or anything, and I finally decided to, I better do it before it's too late. And man, I'm really glad that I did, because I was able to do so much more. You know, I've met a lot of good people, and I was president of the BOT Club that first year. Then I was president of ABLE, American Indian Business Leaders. As VP of fundraising for them. I've been on the school board for the elementary school on campus, and I've gone to all of your leadership series workshops, and I've just been able to be involved and meet new people from all over, and they've become lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. So.
And now you're on the Native American Development Center's board's working group, so you continue on that work.
Yeah.
I'm just meeting more people.
Yeah.
In our community. Well, that kind of wraps up everything, unless there's anything else that you wanted to share.
I just want to tell everybody that no matter who you are or where you're from, then just remember that you need to go through life with God, and keeping your mind, body, and spirit in balance. Our elders always say, take care of yourself when you see them, you know, when you're saying farewell to them, you know, and you're not going to see them for a while. They say, take care of yourself. You know, I think that's what they mean, is to keep your mind and body and spirit in balance so that you can be a good person and you can succeed. And then Love and respect should be at the center of your circle, and don't stray too far from your circle, because that's when things go wrong. And choose wisely and lead by example. Challenge yourself consistently. Pay attention to others' needs and listen carefully, because everybody has something that you could learn from. Show empathy and be courageous. Be honest and level-headed in all that you do. And just remember that my grandpa always told me, from the time God places you in your mother's womb till the time he calls you home, then there's a reason for everything that happens, and you never question it. You just have to accept it. Love one another, and always be thankful. And if you live this way, then God will continue to bless you again and again.
Thank you.